This is Logan Sekula with breaking news. Mississippi's Attorney General asked the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekula Live.
Mississippi is asking the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. This as the state appeals a ruling against one of its abortion laws.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The High Court is expected to hear that case this fall.
And now your host, Logan Sekula.
Welcome to Sekula. This is Logan Sekula, joined by Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., Will Haynes in studio. We got a jam-packed show coming up in the next segment. Attorney, senior counsel for the ACLJ, CeCe Hyles, going to be joining us to talk about this specific moment coming out of the Attorney General's office in Mississippi as they call for the end of Roe versus Wade and return to the state rights option of life and abortions. We're going to talk about that. Also, later on in the show, Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma is going to be joining us, not only to talk about this, but to talk about the Ben and Jerry's situation and what that means for Israel and the entire BDS movement. And then later on, Secretary Mike Pompeo will be joining us as well to talk about his new blog. So, Will, we got a jam-packed show, but I think we should at least briefly go over what we're talking about. As people probably saw in the title, and as we said earlier on, this is somewhat breaking news that came out last night. In the case of Dobbs versus Jackson, a women's health organization, Mississippi Attorney General filed her brief with the Supreme Court of the United States defending the right of the people to pass laws that protect the life and women's health and address and legitimate interest in the states, essentially saying abortion after a certain amount of time should be illegal. And not only beyond that, that means we need to take a new look and potentially, what she says, overturn the two landmark abortion cases.
That's right. So this is Attorney General Lynn Fitch of Mississippi. And what she's done in this is file the petitioner's brief. So this is the case. Mississippi passed a ban on abortions after 15 weeks. So that was struck down in the two lower courts in Mississippi, asked the Supreme Court to take it up. We actually filed an amicus in that request of the Supreme Court to take it up. They announced at the end of last term that they would be taking that up. So we've talked about this on the broadcast. This is the petitioner's brief. So the state of Mississippi, the attorney general is representing Dobbs, who is the state health official in this case. This is it's a pretty big deal. And let me read right from the brief right here. It says Roe and Casey are egregiously wrong. The conclusion that abortion is a constitutional right has no basis in text, structure, history, or tradition. And then the attorney general goes on to ask that they overrule these previous decisions of the court.
Look, I think a lot of people are always curious what the fight for life looks like in a world where Roe versus Wade has been the law for the last 50-ish years. What does it look like? What can we actually do to push back against sort of the juggernauts of abortion? Well, we have interesting movement. And look, you look at this specific instance, and you go, well, the ACLJ, how are we involved? We're going to get in that in the next segment. We have CeCe Hyles on to explain the situation because, as Will said, this is the state calling for it. And so it's not necessarily something we would specifically represent the state. However, we are involved. We are filing. We are a part of this, putting our efforts as much as we can, not only through media advocacy, but also traditional advocacy out there saying this is an important topic we need to be discussing. We're also going to talk about the legal implications of this type of law, what it actually means. If you overturn Roe, I think a lot of people's general thoughts, well, that means abortion is no longer legal. Not the case. That means it will return to the states. And we're going to talk about how that will all work and what that would look like. This is one of those cases we've been waiting for. I know, look, if those who have been on the front lines of the fight for life have waited for moments like this, so we definitely don't need to hold off. We need to step forward and go forward in faith and go forward for the children of our country. I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. Like I said, we have a jam-packed show, but we will be taking your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Coming in next segment, we have senior counsel for the ACLJ, CeCe Hyles, to discuss this. Again, following that, we will have on Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma, and later on, Mike Pompeo. Packed show. Again, to support the work of the ACLJ, we're headed towards the end of our matching challenge for this month. We'd appreciate it. Any donation you give is effectively doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. We are joined by Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, CeCe Heil. CeCe, we've been discussing earlier in the show the implications of the statement in the case that's coming out of Mississippi. I think I'd love to hear from you specifically what the ACLJ is doing in these kind of situations. I know when the state is the one who's making it, how are we represent? How are we a part of this? And how can our people get behind and support the work? I know we got petitions going on. What does it all mean, though?
So the case that's coming up before the Supreme Court, there will be a time for amicus briefs to be filed in support of Mississippi's laws. And that's what the ACLJ will be doing legally. And that's how people can help. They can go online at aclj.org and sign our petitions, and that's very helpful. But that's the process that we're in. These briefs will be filed next week.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I think we need any movement on life has to be at least explained, told to our audience so they know that there is a fight that's continual. I think it's easy to lose faith in such an argument when you know, Roe versus Wade has been on the books for so long, but we're out there making the moves, actually making change, because you may look at it and go, well, this, you know, whether it's done by viability or what the weeks are, or is it late term, does any of that really matter when there is Roe versus Wade? Well, that's why there are cases like this to hopefully relook at what all went down and what current technology and what current science says.
Right. And what's important for our listeners to know and remember is that there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. It was a judicially fabricated right that was created in the opinion of Roe v. Wade. And that Roe v. Wade opinion has been continuously attacked by legal scholars, interestingly, on the right and the left, as a terrible opinion. And Casey tried to come after Roe v. Wade and say, well, you know, yes, the states do have some legitimate interests in this abortion issue, but it didn't go far enough. And the problem is, just like you said, they picked this arbitrary point of viability to say when a state's interest become compelling. And that is what this case is saying, is that that's an arbitrary point that was picked, and the states, this issue should be returned back to the states where it belongs. And it's interesting that Justice O'Connor stated, you know, that the potential life is no less potential in the first weeks than it is at viability, which just points out the ridiculousness of the court picking such an arbitrary point, which keeps changing with medical technology and as we know more.
So let's discuss that a little bit deeper. When it comes to Roe, Roe gets overturned in theory. That happens. For those who don't really understand what that means, it doesn't mean a all-out, you know, now all of a sudden abortion is illegal across the board, because Roe just took it and made it federal. So it takes it back to the states. So you'd likely, and Cece, you can probably, you know, go into more detail about this, you would likely have states that have very strict life laws, and then you'd have states like a New York or California that may come out with extreme left, extreme, issues where, you know, we know what goes on in New York, and even with partial birth and how much it's celebrated kind of in a disgusting way, lighting up the Empire State Building for it. So there would be sort of a split America, probably, in terms of where the laws would end up going.
That's correct. If it's returned back to the states, then it's the states that make those determinations. Then it becomes really in the hands of the people for them to vote for the legislators that they want representing their values. So it literally returns this issue back into the hands of the people where it belongs.
Cece, the implications, analysts and the legal scholars and team here, everyone knew that the implications of this case would always potentially be the issue of Roe versus Wade. But now that the Attorney General of Mississippi has gone so far as to actually put that in the brief to highlight that, you know, these two things are in conflict here. We have the Supreme Court precedent. We have our law. They're in conflict. And so, therefore, the Supreme Court should overturn Roe versus Wade and Casey. How big of a deal is that they actually go ahead and state that in the brief? Obviously, the Supreme Court could have addressed it, but that is the stated position of the state of Mississippi.
Well, I think it highlights the point that, first of all, this is a judicially fabricated right. And second of all, it is a completely arbitrary point that the court has picked when a state's interest becomes compelling in protecting the life of the mother and the unborn baby. And the Supreme Court has admitted that there is a compelling interest that the states have in protecting the life of an unborn baby. So when you go after the fact that when is it that we can start prohibiting abortion and protecting the life of the unborn baby, it does completely undermine Roe, which is saying, one, we've created a right to abortion, and two, we're telling you that right basically is absolutely an absolute right up until the point of viability, which again is arbitrary. And so this case is going to the unconstitutionality of abortion right and then the arbitrariness of the point where they say a state's interest becomes compelling. So it really does undo Roe v. Wade.
And I want to talk to you for a moment about this, because one of the things we do at the ACLJ, and people hear about it a lot, are our petitions. And there is a petition right now, overturn Roe v. Wade, defeat abortion, save babies, the petition to overturn Roe v. Wade. It's got about 240,000 people who have signed it. What does that mean when it comes to what you can do in Washington to help these kind of laws get passed, not only in Washington, but with the states, and obviously as things progress, because we have a state now saying, hey, Supreme Court, you need to take a better look at this. Than, what does that look like for you in terms of the work that we do?
I think these petitions are particularly impactful on an issue like this, Logan, where there's a federal component and there's a state component. On the federal level, we are able to take those names, break them down by state, and go to members of the House and the Senate and tell them what their voters want them to do. In this case, it's essentially to stand down, Logan. I mean, they want the court to return this power to the states, to return it to the legislative branches where the people, Logan, have the most power. So if that power were to return to the states, the voters in those states, the citizens of those states would have the ability to weigh in with their state legislatures and have an impact. And Logan, I think it's particularly compelling here because at that state legislature level, and you referenced this, that's where you actually can find quite a bit of consensus on this issue. Now, look, the consensus that some of the states are going to find is one that I'm not going to be particularly in agreement with, but it's so divisive on a federal level, Logan. When you get down to the state level, you can find a whole lot more consensus. And by the way, CeCe's talked a lot about viability and how arbitrary that is. Roe talks about 24 weeks of viability, Logan. It is regular course for babies to be born before that and lead a healthy, thriving life. I know this firsthand. So it's just another example of how that ruling in Roe is very outdated.
Yeah, it's hard for those kind of situations because you look at it, you said 24 weeks is what it says. Technology is moving, and that's moving it further and further back. And we know this. We know life is getting longer on one end. On the other end, it's in a there's technology earlier, involved to start right. earlier and to protect a baby at its earliest stages. Again, I'm a preemie dad. I know a lot of people who listen to are as well. So I understand these situations. I've been there. Maybe not to that extreme where it's 22 weeks, but there are people who are doing it, as you said, and it's happening. So we do need to occasionally take a look at how technology and science, and I think that's something that people always hate to bring up, that the technology and the science is clearly on the side of people who are more pro-life. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't seems like that's always, there's another scapegoat there. CeCe, it always seems like that we only got a couple minutes. But technology all of a sudden and science can't be taken into consideration in terms of life.
Yeah, so technology and science is only helpful when it helps the left side. Once it starts supporting the side of life, then all of a sudden it doesn't matter. And they change their talking points.
Right.
You know, they don't talk anymore about it killing a baby. They talk about access to reproductive health. So they just change the talking points, but it's about killing a baby. And just like Justice O'Connor said, you know, potential life is no less potential in the first weeks than it is at viability. So it's arbitrary. Life is life. It begins at conception, and we need to do everything we can to protect it.
Well, thank you, CeCe, for joining us, and thank you for your continual fight for life in terms of the ACLJ and all your work that you do here. And I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't taken a look at it, go to aclj.org. CeCe puts out great pieces, as well as all the team puts out amazing blogs and stories and videos, and you can find her on our new More Than Ever series. And hey, towards the end of the show, we're going to play you a portion of our life episode of More Than Ever, which is available right now on morethanever.com, but we're going to play that later in the show. In the next segment, we're going to be joined by Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma. You know him, you've heard him here before. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about life. He's going to be a very strong proponent of life, but we're also going to talk about what's going on in terms of what sometimes sounds silly, which is Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And how they have pulled out of what they consider to be occupied territories. Of course, that means Jerusalem and areas of Israel. And saying they're no longer to serve there. Well, Oklahoma has a response as well. Because they have some laws on the books. So we'll see how that's going to play out. We're going to talk to him in the next segment. And then later on, we'll be joined by Secretary Mike Pompeo, also senior counsel for the ACLJ. So that's going to be an interesting segment. Talk about his new piece at aclj.org. Support the work continually, especially in this month of July, where all of your donations are effectively doubled. That is at aclj.org. And hey, we are going to take some phone calls as well. There's a few lines open. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We're going to be joined shortly by Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma. Let's quickly take a phone call while we wait for him to get connected. Let's go to Cindy, who's calling in California on line one. Cindy, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, great. I wanted to know why in this particular case, you keep mentioning that the court's going to decide to probably send the right to abortion back to the states to decide.
Sure.
Why couldn't the court decide that abortion is illegal from the moment of conception, since they originally decided that...
Sure, Cindy. What the situation at hand would be that the case itself of Roe versus Wade is what made it federally a law. So when removing Roe versus Wade, it returns back to the states. I'm not a lawyer, but hopefully that gives you a clear
enough. And we'll
be
getting into more analysis in that next week when we have Jordan and Jay back on the air to discuss that at length and what our brief does as well.
All right. On the phone right now, we have Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma. Senator, earlier this week, we've talked about this. And again, it's easy to kind of trivialize this and make this feel silly. But news broke that Ben & Jerry's ice cream was pulling out of its products out of Israel. You tweeted this. Ben & Jerry's has now decided they know more about Jerusalem than the Israelis. If Ben & Jerry's wants to have a meltdown and boycott Israel, Oklahoma is ready to respond because Oklahoma has an anti-boycott of Israel law in place. So let's discuss that. I want to ask you not only about that law and what that means, but also why you think a company like Ben & Jerry's would go after an ally like this, a corporate business. Why do you feel like this is something that a big corporation decides is the sword to die on?
I don't know why they would decide that if they attack Israel, that's their way to advance their own company. But if they want to be able to attack Israel's sovereignty, and if they want to try to belittle or try to be able to boycott Israel based on policies, that's their own company's business. But they should not just believe that we're just going to ignore that. If they want to be able to do that as a progressive company out of Vermont, fine, they can do that. But our state has already determined that people that attack Israel with the boycott, divestment, and sanctioned regime that they're doing as companies, and has become popular among some on the left, we've already determined as a state, we're just not going to do state contracts with those companies and to say, we don't have to do business with you either. And the simple, straightforward way is, if they want to be able to belittle Israel, we have every opportunity to be able to just respond and say, we're not going to do business with you.
It's a pretty bold statement coming out of Oklahoma.
And Senator, a lot of times the people are hesitant with boycotts as far as retaliatory, but this is an interesting way to tackle this, because Ben & Jerry's has kind of opened the door to this by boycotting Israel, and then it's the actual government of Oklahoma that would not be doing business. Is that the way I understand the state law?
Yeah, that's correct. The state law doesn't prohibit.
Oh, I think we're
liberal ice cream. They're welcome to go buy liberal ice cream. They want to be able to do that in any grocery store, convenience store, whatever it may be. But it actually blocks the state from contracting with them. So our state parks, state facilities, any of those areas that we would just say, hey, we're just not going to sell that product here. By the way, we've got a lot of great ice creams in Oklahoma. We can just sell all those great ice creams in Oklahoma. We don't need to get Vermont ice cream anyway. But the whole focus for us is people can choose to buy what they want to choose. But our state has made a statement about a boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And those companies that do that against Israel, we just don't do business with them as a state.
Dan.
Appreciate you joining us. I appreciate your longtime partnership with us on many issues. I wanted to shift gears for just a moment here. You have long been one of the most fervent voices on the side of life on Capitol Hill, and we're so grateful for that. But as you know, the Supreme Court is about to hear what might be the most significant case on this issue since Roe v. Wade. We've been talking about it on this broadcast, the Dobbs case. And an issue there is whether or not states can restrict abortion before so-called viability, which, as you know, is an ever-shifting line, and that is kind of the point. But talk for a minute, if you would, about your sense at what's at stake here, and in your opinion, what you think the court should do in that case.
yeah, there's no question that the court should look at this case and the Dobbs case, look at the clear facts of it and overturn Roe v. Wade and overturn the Casey decision and to say states have the right to be able to make a decision to be able to protect their own citizens. What was done in 1973 with Roe v. Wade was this arbitrary decision to say once a child is viable, then the states could actually engage. As we know from medical science right now, at a child at conception, when that cell division is happening, that's DNA that's different than the mom, different than the dad. That is a unique human being that's actually there. That is a separate person. And the court should just acknowledge what's already happening in science and what people can see. And quite frankly, you can look at a sonogram and what's self-evident on a sonogram. 10 fingers, 10 toes, a beating heart, DNA that's different than the mom or the dad. That is a different person. And when a state steps in to be able to speak into that, to be able to say, hey, we have the responsibility to be able to protect individual citizens, we should do that. Quite frankly, the Supreme Court has allowed states to be able to have laws in their state to say if someone kills a pregnant mother, that they can be held to account for them murdering two people. So while the Supreme Court in one case allows the state to be able to protect the rights of an unborn child if there's an assault or a murder, they don't allow that same right of the state to be able to protect a child in an abortion. That is a double standard from the court. They should acknowledge that, and they should pull back and allow the states to be able to make these decisions.
Yeah, it's a double standard, Senator Langford. And also, technology is just moving so rapidly that you would think that the, you know, the far left and these people who preach science and preach technology, that this would be right in their wheelhouse. But of course, it has to do with life. And it has to become a politically divided issue because it does, the science no longer supports their way of thinking. But do you think that we're winning in this? Do you think cases like Dobbs that are happening, we're seeing movement actually happen in the fight for life? And that's something that sometimes feels like isn't happening. But right now we have a moment.
Oh, no, it's absolutely happening. More and more people are trying to acknowledge the self-evident fact. When I show people a picture of a child in the womb, a sonogram picture, and I just ask them the question, what is that? No one answers that's tissue. No one answers that way.
Yeah,
that everyone looks at that and says, that's a baby. That's very, very clear on that. And so anyone who wants to look at the science or the self-evident facts in the case, do that. The only argument for abortion is an argument really of convenience to say this child's not convenient. And so I'm going to kill this child and then I'll try to make another child later on that. I think that's abhorrent for us as a culture to be able to say we're going to stand on the side of if children are inconvenient, you can kill them. If children are not convenient, you can keep them and call them a child. That child is a child no matter what you name it, whatever verbiage that you use, that's still a child. And so we should, as a culture, be consistent both with the science and with the self-evident facts that a child is a child is a child is a child. And then the decision is, what do we need to do to best protect the life of each individual person?
Well, Senator Langford, I just want to first just thank you for your continued support of life and of Israel and being one of the loud, outspoken people on our side. And I really do appreciate that. I think that is becoming harder and harder to find in some ways, but you're out there supporting the issues that are core to the ACLJ and core to what's happening in Washington. What our listeners know is the most important thing, the fight for life and even the fight for Israel and for our country. So I want to thank you and the state of Oklahoma for standing up against Ben and Jerry's. I appreciate you taking the time talking to us and talking to our audience, getting us informed. It's good to know what's happening all around the country. So thank you. And I want to encourage everyone who is listening right now. In the next segment of the show, we're going to be taking some phone calls. I'd love to hear from you. You just heard from Senator James Langford. You just heard from Senior Counsel Cece Howell. Later on, you're going to hear from Secretary Mike Pompeo. And guess what? Who else we could hear from? You. That's at 1-800-684-3110. For those who lose us after the first half hour, join us live or later on all social media platforms. We're live on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. You can find us there. Search for Jay Sekulow. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe all of our channels. Jay Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, ACLJ, Jordan Sekulow. We're there and at ACLJ.org. And again, we'll be back with another half hour of Sekulow right after this.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.